Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome back to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and this is episode 229. So these episodes are FAQs. They are shorter form without the interviews that we do with cloud personalities, and they focus on a particular technology and do a bit of a deep dive into that. So in this episode of the FAQs, what we're going to talk about is the concept that you should be adding Azure as a default to all opportunities that include Microsoft 365. So what that means is you should look at Microsoft 365 and Azure as components together, not as separate items. Now, why is the reason for that? Well, the important thing here is that when you add an Azure subscription into an offering that includes Microsoft 365, you're able to do that at effectively no cost. Now, the reason for that is that Azure is billed on consumption. Now, what that means is that if you don't use any of the services, you won't be billed for it. Now, why would that be an advantage to put that in immediately? Well, the thing is that in a lot of cases, when you're migrating customers into the cloud, they're not only going to have the requirements for emails, they're going to have the requirements for files, but they may also have the requirement for traditional infrastructure. Now, traditional infrastructure, we can't really solve with Microsoft 365 because it is a SaaS offering, right? So it's software as a service. What we really need is going to be typically something like IaaS, so infrastructure as a service. Now, this is virtual machines, virtual networking, VPNs, all that sort of stuff. And that is exactly what Azure is going to allow us to provide, as well as stepping up to things like platform as a service, so Azure SQL, and all the options that are involved there. Now, having an Azure subscription in place already is going to mean that we are ready to implement those. We've also got the ability to add and subtract these resources as required. So a good example is you may have an environment where you have lots of data and some of it doesn't make sense to go into something like SharePoint or OneDrive for Business. Now, a good example of that would be a large set of photographs. Now, we can put photographs certainly into SharePoint. We can put it into OneDrive for Business. But unless those photographs have some sort of text that can be searched or that can be indexed, they're pretty much useless unless some metadata is added to the files as they're uploaded. Now, my experience is in the market is most customers who have lots and lots of photos generally just want to keep those just in case, but they're not prepared to invest the time to put the metadata in there to make them searchable and add additional value. Now, if you do take lots of photos and you put them up into SharePoint, then that's going to count against your global storage because we know photos tend to chew up a lot of space, and that is going to be a large amount of space that is not really serving a great purpose. So I would suggest to you it doesn't make a lot of sense there. Now, yes, you could put it in OneDrive, you could share it from there, but again, not best practice because OneDrive is designed for personal storage. So this is where the concept of Azure can come in handy. So what we can do is we could potentially set up something called Azure SMB File Share. Now, that allows us to map a network drive across the internet to Azure and have it appear like an F drive or a Z drive, and then users can simply copy files up and down to it. Now, we'll go into a bit more depth down the track around exactly what's involved when we look at doing things like Azure SMB files, so you'll get some information about how to do that in depth, but just take that as a beginning. Now, if a user has a large amount of files and we want to get them off a file server or free up some space and we don't want to put them in our Microsoft 365 collaboration environments, we could spin up the storage and we could put them into Azure. Now, Azure Storage, for example, will give us three tiers of options. So we have something called Archive, Cool, and Hot Storage. And that is a trade-off between the access times and also the cost. So if you just want something that acts like a backup of a big USB disk or maybe the old concept of a tape drive hanging around with data on it that you couldn't retrieve at some point if you needed to, then Azure will fulfill that. And it can do that quite cheaply and quite easily. Now, the big advantage of adding the Azure subscription directly into our environment where we have already have Microsoft 365 is that that can now take advantage of Azure AD, our identities, our users, potentially their permissions, and that makes it much easier to manage and to secure. Now, what it also means is that we only pay for what we use. So if we're using the storage and we use it for a month, then all we will generally pay for is that amount of storage. If we don't need it after a month, we can turn it off and we will save money. So we can now have this flexibility to solve a lot of problems, especially when it comes to infrastructure with something like Azure. So if a customer has, for example, a domain controller which is on its last legs, we could set up a site-to-site VPN into Azure. We could build a virtual machine that is a domain controller, join it to the network, replicate all the roles across, and then we could turn off the on-prem domain controller. So it's going to give us that flexibility when it comes to infrastructure. Now, for example, one of the other benefits Azure will bring is the ability to do things like upgrades and downgrades without the necessary need to worry about hardware. So what we're talking about here is, let's say that you do have a virtual machine in Azure that is performing an SQL function or performing some sort of third-party web hosting environment. Now, there may come a stage where the initial processor or the initial machine is not powerful enough. Now, if we were to upgrade this on-prem, we'd have to go and buy new equipment, we'd have to swing the whole thing across, we'd have to rebuild it from scratch. But in the world of Azure, what we can do is basically select a more powerful compute version of the virtual machine, shut the virtual machine down, and then when the machine spins up, it will have that new, more powerful compute available to it. So that's all we need to do when it comes to hardware upgrades. Now, another big advantage Azure will give us is also the ability to script all this, to work with things like PowerShell, to basically do things like infrastructure as code. So if we can set up, for example, a standard environment with a standard server, maybe a standard domain controller, a terminal server or whatever, we can deploy these with us quickly into Azure. Now, when you do add an Azure subscription into an existing Microsoft 365 environment, again, it will sit there at no cost until you actually start using the resources that are available to you in Azure. Now, a good example of one of the very simple services that you can use in Azure that are very, very cheap is Azure DNS. So if you choose to host, for example, your Microsoft 365 DNS records or your domain DNS records outside Microsoft 365, so not as part of the wizard, you want to put it in an area that you can go in and tweak, for example, the TXT record or the A record or the C record, Azure DNS is perfect for that. So the cost on that is going to be obviously dependent on how many requests are made directly to that domain. My experience is it's only a couple of dollars per month to host DNS. Now, what that gives you, for example, is the ability to do additional reporting, management, security alerts, and so on. It also gives you, as I've mentioned, the flexibility to configure your DNS records with PowerShell. So what you can do is set up an environment where all the script would do is ask you for the domain. It would then go into Office Microsoft 365. It would then set the domain there. It would do the verification, add the required records to Azure, and then do the verification once again. Now you can do all this in an automated manner. Now, anybody who's done DNS records with Office 365 outside Microsoft, outside the Microsoft 365 environment knows that it can be quite painful to copy those specific records into a DNS hoster and get them all right. Now, if we did this with a script, we're going to be able to basically write once and run many times. We're going to get a consistent output, and it's going to give us that flexibility to run many, many times over, knowing we'll get the same result. So a good place to start with Azure resources, if you do actually want to take advantage of them, would be to look at something like Azure DNS. It's a couple of dollars a month. It then puts the DNS records hosted into the same capsule where you have Microsoft 365 and Azure together. Now, another good starting point once you've, for example, got DNS is the storage concept. So we can create SMB storage, we can create blob storage, we can use that as a location to store all sorts of information, archive information, files that we really want to keep. We don't want to keep them on-prem, but we really don't want to put them into something like SharePoint. Photos was the example I used, but there are lots of other options out there. Maybe, for example, another good reason that you could use Azure storage is to save old PST files. So rather than putting those PST files into somewhere inside Microsoft 365, like OneDrive for Business or SharePoint or Teams, you could put them in an SMB file share. You could also put them in blob storage. So lots and lots of options that you've got there. So again, think about Azure DNS, then think about Azure storage. Next, as mentioned, we talked about creating a VPN. So we can create a site-to-site VPN. Doing that allows me to have a virtual network in Azure that has virtual machines that is effectively on the same network as my on-prem thanks to my site-to-site VPN. Now, when I have this, I can now start swinging servers. I can move resources between on-prem and the cloud because I've set up this environment where effectively it's one network. So I get the ability to, have the option to have lots and lots of virtual machines if I want, or individual needs, or maybe something temporary like a web server. I can do all that quickly and easily using Azure. Now, from there, you can keep scaling up. You can start using more sophisticated things like machine learning. You can use AI. All of those are Azure services. You've got Azure Functions. You've got Azure Key Vault to hold credentials. So there's lots and lots of options inside Azure. So my recommendation is that if you haven't considered this, have a look at the way that you create a Microsoft Cloud environment. Don't just think of it as purely Microsoft 365. Think of it as Microsoft 365 and Azure together. Now remember that a lot of Microsoft 365 services like Azure AD, Conditional Access, Azure MFA, all that sort of stuff are actually Azure services. So you are actually using Azure service. The tenant is there when you create the Microsoft 365 tenant. All you need to do is add a subscription, a paid subscription in there that would allow you to do things like virtual machines, storage, virtual networks, and so on. And that's not very difficult. And until you actually start using those resources, it won't cost you anything. So I would strongly suggest that if you haven't considered this already, have a think about when you implement the Microsoft Cloud, don't just limit it to Microsoft 365. Have a think about what role Azure can play in there. What flexibility is it going to give you? What abilities is it going to be able to provide as a solution for customers that you can't do at the moment or can only rely on on-prem infrastructure? Remember, Azure is far more flexible, and the important thing is the pricing model. The pricing model, as I mentioned, is you pay for what you use, right? So again, don't use anything or use very little, you pay very little. It's as simple as that. So hopefully you'll go out, have a look at it, do some thinking about using Azure. Remember, you can add it in for free. There's no cost until you actually start using resources. My advice then would be to have a think about looking at something like Azure DNS, very, very cheap. A site-to-site VPN is another option. Azure storage is a great option. And we'll talk about these in more depth in upcoming FAQs when we do cover those off. So before I end off with this episode, I'll let you know that the best place to get in contact with me about these episodes or any episodes we do on the Need to Know podcast is at N2K Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. You can email me feedback@needtoknow.cloud. So that's needtoknow.cloud, right? So please send me an email, give me some feedback. Let me know how we're doing, obviously, on these FAQs, what topics you'd like to see covered. Plus, don't be hesitant in letting us know what you want to hear on the long form, what sort of people you want to hear interviewed. So I thank everybody for their continued feedback and your patronage of this podcast. Looking forward to the next episode.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.